Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Upgrade your kitchen today with Clearview Cabinetry. We offer a great selection of finishes made with the finest materials and built to withstand life's sticky messes. They provide features like soft closed doors and drawers and with cabinet accessories to match your unique style. View our selection of Clearview Cabinetry on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Pharrell back on Coast to Coast. Every Thursday, we go to the BetMGM Sportsbook in the MGM National Harbor and hook up with our lead NFL analyst, my guy, Warren Sharp, ready to dance again. We got one in the desert tonight, Warren. Good to see you. It's Saints and Cardinals. And, of course, Kingsbury and Murray get their boy Nuke back. Hopkins is back in the lineup for the Cardinals, catching passes from Murray. How much of a difference will that make for this Arizona team that has been god-awful to start the season?
Well, they have been god-awful, and in large part that's because of Cliff Kingsbury. I do think it's going to make a difference. The chemistry is undeniable. The precision of the route running and where he goes versus where Kyler expects him to be, these guys are in sync, in tune, in rhythm, and I think that that is going to make a difference for Arizona. We saw some early money coming in on the Saints, but the late money has definitely been coming in on the Arizona Cardinals here. I'm interested to see, can the Cardinals get out quickly? Usually these road teams, it's more difficult for them to make the travel on a short week and perform. That's a great opportunity for the Arizona Cardinals with all their early first quarter struggles. They've scored 3 points, lowest of any team in the NFL in the first quarter this year, to try to come out a little bit faster here because they're playing at home on short rest. And look, I think Cliff Kingsbury, he's at a coaching disadvantage in most games that he goes into. But here, both coaches are at a little bit of a disadvantage because of the short prep time and because you're going up against another rookie first-year head coach in Dennis Allen. As a result, I think there's opportunities here for Cliff Kingsbury to get Kyler Murray going a little bit earlier. I think one of the ways they need to do that is to run the football. New Orleans Saints don't get a lot of pressure on opposing quarterbacks. I think if we could get a little bit of rushing out of Kyler early on in this game and then hitting DeAndre Hopkins a little bit, I think there's opportunities for them here, but I'm not confident, and I have not bet this game one side or the other. I don't have a lean total either. I just think that this game is going to be more entertaining than the last two Thursday night games, Scott, which is something that we can be glad about. But from a betting perspective, I don't know that I have a lot of confidence in putting my money on this one.
So, I mean, at what point do you think, Warren, that upstairs in ownership, they're watching this guy Kingsbury and they've seen the results with Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury, and the results have been emphatically awful? He is not getting the job done at all. At what point are they having those meetings and thinking, this isn't working?
I don't know. You would have hoped that they had him this past offseason, and if they did, they decided to reward Cliff with the contract. And what was going for Cliff is he took his team to, 11 wins last year, and they made the playoffs. And so that was what was going for them last year. I mean, I'm sure Cliff and ownership might just be blaming it on the receiver situation. And, well, we didn't have DeAndre Hopkins, so we couldn't do anything, of course. Marquise Brown now got injured, so he's going to be missing some time. This team just doesn't have a lot of support cast around Kyler Murray. And as we've discussed in the past, most of this offense is just Kyler go do something, because the scripted stuff that Cliff brings to the table just doesn't have a lot of meat and a lot of just juice to it. And Kyler has to go create himself. So I don't think the team is anywhere close to. I would be shocked if they, for example, fired Cliff Kingsbury after giving him a big contract this past offseason. I think they're in it for the long haul, at least for this season. And even a loss here wouldn't change anything, in my opinion.
We welcome all of our radio affiliates to Coast on a Thursday. We're talking to Warren Sharp, our lead NFL analyst from the MGM National Harbor, Sirius XM Channel 159, Sports Map Radio Network, Sports Byline USA. Good to have you with us. Let me ask you this question. Why do you think it is? I mean, seriously, all right, so let's not involve Cliff in this. Why is it that this team can't win football games in their own building? I mean, it's like, it's a scourge. I've never seen anything like it. What in the hell is going on? I've never seen a team that doesn't win at home.
I really do think that it's hard to answer this question without involving Cliff. I think that the Arizona Cardinals allow too many distractions at the home front. And that's the only thing that makes sense, because this building used to have a home field advantage before Cliff arrived. We shared with the viewers when Cliff got here, this team has had the worst home field advantage of any team in the NFL. The only thing that's giving them an edge in this game is the fact that the Saints are traveling on a short week and don't have as much time to prepare. That's literally it. They don't have as much time as usual, because this building does not give the Arizona Cardinals home field. And in large part, it's not because the fans aren't good in Arizona. The fans love this team. The fans want the team to do well. They like rooting for Kyler Murray having success. I just think there's too many distractions. They can't be focused enough. That's the only thing that explains such a dichotomy between the performance at home versus the performance at the on the road.
Let's talk about Hopkins and Robbie Anderson. Hopkins hasn't played at all. Anderson has been a malcontent in Carolina. They traded his ass to Arizona. How will both of them do?
I think Hopkins will do well. I hope Cliff gives him a ton of run here. I don't have a lot of confidence in Robbie Anderson really making a massive impact, but I do think this. A.J. Green, right now, his longest receiving yards prop, longest reception, is a 14.5. I would be looking to bet the under on that and potentially the under on his total receiving yards. I think he is definitely going to find himself as the odd man out in this game.
When we come back, we'll talk about Cleveland, Baltimore, and the Charm City. The Giants going into a den of iniquity down in Jacksonville. Will they be able to stop Barkley because they've stopped everybody else rushing? And we'll talk about the Sunday nighter. Steelers and Dolphins at Hard Rock in Miami. Pickett coming off a concussion. Tua's coming off a concussion. We'll see what happens. Talking to Warren Sharp on Coast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Pharrell back on Coast to Coast. We go back to the BetMGM Sportsbook and Lounge in the National Harbor MGM with our lead NFL analyst, Warren Sharp. Let's talk about the Browns and the Ravens. The Ravens obviously are the kings of blowing leads this year. That's obvious. And the Browns have a quarterback that all he does is lose. I don't care what anybody says. I've been hearing about Jacoby Brissett until my ears have wax in them. And all he does is lose. That's just all I know. I don't care what anyone else does. Whenever he's playing, they lose.
I warned people before the season that he is going to be a massive downgrade for this team. But I guess people didn't care to listen. But here's one of the things. You were dead on with what you were talking about with the Baltimore Ravens. This is a team that had yet another game that they just could not seal. They could not seal the deal. They got up and they just couldn't seal the deal. And one of the reasons was, all these anomalies happened to him last week. Justin Tucker misses a field goal. They drive twice into Giants' 16-yard line and settle for field goals in those spots. Lamar throws an interception. It ends up being turned into points, a touchdown for the New York Giants. And then they've got a chance to go one more drive and come from behind and get the win. And they fumble the football on the first play. So, like, whatever could have gone wrong for the Ravens last week did go wrong. And one of the keys to that game, we talked about this game a lot last week, Scott, about Wink Martindale and how he is the defense coordinator for the Giants. And he knew all the idiosyncrasies of Lamar Jackson. He knew his ins and outs. He knew what made him tick and what didn't. And he knew how to get those stops in those key moments. They obviously blitzed him a lot. We know what to expect. But they knew how to get him in those key moments that turned drives into field goal attempts. The prior three games, the Baltimore Ravens went up against top 10 defenses. So you're talking about three games against top 10 defenses, plus this game against Wink. This week, they're now going up against the Browns defense, which you mentioned Jacoby Brissett, but you didn't mention the fact that this Browns defense ranks dead last in the NFL, and that's despite the fact that they've played the second easiest schedule of opposing offenses. You should not rank dead last when you're playing basically no opposing offenses, but that's exactly what this Cleveland Browns team has done. I think the Ravens are going to have success on the ground and in the air. Let's talk about on the ground first and foremost. They should be able to run the football here. I mean, you look at this game last week, the Cleveland Browns loaded the box on 91% of rushing attempts for the New England Patriots because they knew Bailey Zappi's not going to beat us. Let's load the box and try to take away the run game of the New England Patriots.
Right.
What ended up happening? Bailey Zappi threw for 300 yards and the Patriots still ran for three touchdowns. So, I mean, they couldn't stop them on the ground. They couldn't stop them in the air and they got blown out. I think the Baltimore Ravens are going to be capable of putting up a crooked number based upon their rushing efficiency because it's gotten significantly better over the last 2 weeks. And then look at the quarterbacks, lastly, that the Browns have gone up against. Baker Mayfield, Mitchell Trubisky, Joe Flacco, Marcus Mariota, Bailey Zappi, and Justin Herbert playing with his rib injury. I mean, not even close to what they're going to be dealing with Lamar Jackson here. The Ravens, pay close attention to their injury report. You got Bateman on it. Mark Andrews hasn't been practicing, but I think Mark Andrews is going to be fine. They're just resting him, and I think Lamar's obviously going to be fine, too. It'll be interesting to see if Bateman's able to come back or not, but this offense might have Bateman and Mark Andrews up for the first time in a while, and that's going to make a big difference for them offensively.
How in God's name are the Jaguars favored over the Giants?
Well, it's because of power ratings, and it's because we too often people are looking at what teams' records are. And the Jacksonville Jaguars were perceived as the better team entering the season. And although they've been dropping some of these games, like they could have won far more than they should have. Whereas the Giants are the exact opposite. This is really the spot that a lot of bettors have circled and have been targeting this game, especially after the Jaguars lost last week. They should have beat the Indianapolis Colts. At worst case scenario, they should have covered that game. They end up doing neither and losing and failing to cover the spread. This is a game that was circled at that very moment to bet the Jacksonville Jaguars because the Jaguars are a team that has played well, but the results aren't there. And the Giants are a team that has played relatively poorly, but the results have been there and they've been overachieving with their wins. And water's going to meet its level here, and people are thinking that the Jaguars are going to have some success. My main concern is this. I do believe that the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to have success running the football. But my concern is offensively, the efficiency out of Trevor Lawrence is going to be limited by two things. The pressure that the New York Giants are able to bring and the blitzing and man coverage behind the blitz that the New York Giants are able to deliver. And that's something that Wink is known for. They get a ton of pressure on opposing quarterbacks. They pressure opposing quarterbacks at the fourth highest rate. And Trevor Lawrence is the fourth most sensitive quarterback to pressure. His EPA shift from when he's pressured versus not pressured is the fourth largest of any quarterback in the NFL. And then you look at the style of defense that gets played. Blitzing and playing man coverage behind that. When Trevor Lawrence is blitzed, he has the fourth lowest target depth of any quarterback in the NFL. He just tries to get rid of the ball really quickly when he's blitzed. And we know that the Giants blitz is the number one highest rate in the NFL. And when Trevor Lawrence is blitzed and has man coverage in behind it, he's averaging, like, I think it's 3.8 yards per pass attempt. Just 3.8. And this is something that the Giants major in. They play man coverage at the second highest rate in the NFL. I absolutely think it's going to be a problem for Trevor Lawrence here. So that's the only reason I can't get behind the Jaguars in this spot. Otherwise, I would be playing them. But I'm just concerned about how they match up against this defense of the New York Giants.
So the Jaguars have this alleged great rush defense that they stopped the run, one of the tops in the NFL, allowing like 89 yards a game. That's it. And yards after catch, they've been doing that well on top of stopping the run. Is that another reason why people are betting on them? They think that they're going to stop Barkley? And I don't care what they're supposed to be doing. The reality is they aren't doing it. They aren't winning. And the Giants are winning. I don't care how you win. When you're 5-1, you're winning. That's all there is to it. You can say whatever you want, but they win every game, and the Jaguars are back to being the Jaguars.
I agree, and your rage is certainly warranted in this situation, and I understand it. Look, I think people are betting against the Giants just because they're winning games that they probably should not win, and they also think that this cannot continue. All these, 14 points last week in the fourth quarter, I think 13 points the prior fourth quarter. Like, this team is not going to be able to sustain scoring late to try to get back in these games and win them. They must start games faster. But guess what? I think maybe some of these people don't realize the Giants, they're coached by Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka. They realize their problems here as well. The difference is the Giants, they're now dealing with Daniel Jones. Their best player is Saquon Barkley. It's totally different than when, you know, Brian Daboll is coaching Josh Allen, the quarterback, or when Mike Kafka was coaching Patrick Mahomes. They have to figure out how to involve Barkley enough early in games, but still start fast. And I think that they are going to be looking at ways to improve and get out the gates a little bit quicker. And if they're able to do that, guess what? Trevor Lawrence is going to be passing the ball a lot in that second half against these blitzes and this man coverage behind him. So it's imperative that if there's a week that the Giants get out early, it's this week against the Jaguars so they can play their defense against Trevor Lawrence and force a lot of pass attempts late.
So let's start the conversation at the very least about the Steelers and Dolphins, and then we'll come back after the break and continue it. Where do you stand going into this game Sunday night at Hard Rock with the two concussed quarterbacks coming back?
I think that the Miami Dolphins are getting just overlooked by everybody. Do you realize that this team has played the number three most difficult schedule of opposing defenses, and yet this offense ranks fifth in efficiency? And that's despite the fact that they've been playing these backup of backup quarterbacks for three consecutive games. They lost Tua, and they put in a backup, and then he gets hurt. They put in the next backup, and that's happened for three consecutive games. I'll break down on the other side of the break exactly what they've been doing these last 3 weeks. But the bottom line here is the coaching job that Mike McDaniel has done to have this offense against one of the most brutal schedules of defenses in the NFL performing at the rate that they have. And these scores, the final scores, are not indicative of the performance of this team. They've been doing a much better job than the final score indicates. And I think that they are going to really be able to pour it on the Pittsburgh Steelers team and this defense that really the Bucs should have won this game last week. They screwed up with their play calling. I don't think that's going to happen here. I think the Dolphins are going to roll in prime time.
Wow. And the Steelers played fantastic against Tom Brady, and that defense was in that game the whole day, and they even got it done with Trubisky. We'll talk more about that with Warren Sharp coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is a whole new jungle. This is The Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM.
All right, Pharrell back in New York and at the MGM National Harbor. BetMGM Sportsbook and Lounge is our lead NFL analyst, badass Warren Sharp. Every Thursday, you can catch him from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern. And believe me, if you don't, you will fail miserably at your picks because he's giving you insight and intel that is so delicious. It's better than going to Sunday brunch with your mother. All right, here's the deal. The Steelers, I won't deny, I laid the 10 with the Rams and covered. I laid the 9.5 with the Bucs and ripped up a ticket. And I'm a Steeler fan and season ticket holder, and I couldn't fathom what I was watching. I mean, I couldn't even believe what I was watching. I watched a guy that looked like he was in anywhere but there. Tom Brady was anywhere but at that game. He looked like he was about as interested in that game as my wife, who could care less about sports. So I don't know what's wrong with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but they are not a good football team. That's just all there is to it. I've been hearing about Super Bowls and being a favorite to go to the Super Bowl, but they're not going to any Super Bowl, and you know it.
Well, I posted a video earlier today. You can check Twitter. It's on SportsGrid's Twitter handle as well, talking about the fact that the Bucs, it was coaching malpractice. The reality was simple. They should have been passing the ball to their wide receivers more. The Steelers were playing without three corners plus a safety. And instead, they passed the ball on two wide receivers on only 12 of 42 early down plays in the first three quarters. They opted instead to run the football and pass the ball to their running backs out of the backfield. Neither of those types of plays were having any type of efficiency whatsoever. Wide receiver passes were averaging 11 yards per attempt. But back to this game, I don't think the Dolphins are going to run into that problem. They're going to pass the ball. They've got great wide receivers. I think they're going to have a lot of success passing to those guys. But when you look down at the schedule, these last three games, everybody thinks, oh, well, they were terrible in these games. Do you realize the game against the Bengals, that the Dolphins led in the fourth quarter in this game, the game that Tua was knocked out early on in that game? The game against the next game against the Jets were up by only 2 points in the fourth quarter. That's a game with Skylar Thompson playing every single snap of the offense except for the very first one of the game. And he's not obviously prepared for this situation. And yet the Jets are up by only 2 points with 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And then the very next week, the Dolphins were down by only 6 points with the ball to take a lead against the Minnesota Vikings last week in a game that, again, their starting quarterback got knocked out. So they're going to the third stringer. This time he was Teddy Bridgewater, who didn't play a single snap during practice that week because he was in the concussion protocol all week. And they almost were able to pull off the win. They fumbled the ball, and two plays later, Dalvin Cook's running 50-plus yards for a touchdown. It looks like a blowout victory for the Minnesota Vikings. The last three games, the Miami Dolphins were in every single one of these games, late in those games, in the fourth quarter, despite all the situations that were happening to them with the quarterback issues. And this is a very good team, in my opinion, and a team that's going to take advantage of a Steelers defense that probably should have lost last week, and it's going to come back to bite them this week.
All right, the Colts got the win against the Jags, and they covered, and now they go to Tennessee, who they lost to in Indy by 7. And I think Tennessee's won 3 in a row, and they're playing at Nissan in Smashville. What do you think of this game?
Well, this is just your classic revenge game in a divisional matchup. Take the points with the road team, especially in this series. I think 5 of the last 6 games that the road team was an underdog, that road underdog has covered in the same season rematch game. So that's the same type of situation that we've got here. It's almost like to me, it's a no-brainer situation. And you have to handicap the game. You have to understand that for whatever reason, the Indianapolis Colts run defense was abysmal last week. But I actually think that if they lean more into the passing attack in this game against the Titans, they will have some success. And the Titans are just a weird team. There's a lot of these quirky teams this year, Scott, whether it's like the Bengals, who are great at defense in the second half of games, or it's the Arizona Cardinals, who can't score in the first quarter of games. But you got the Tennessee Titans, 85% of their points come in the first half. The remaining 15 come in the second half. This team is not good. I told you guys last week, bet on Washington in the second half line, take the team total over for the Titans in the first half. And that's exactly what ended up playing out when the Titans played Washington the other week. This is the same type of situation here. I would not feel bad if the Titans are up early in this game. I still like the Indianapolis Colts here catching the points. I would look to either tease the Colts. They make for a great teaser leg. Pair them with the New England Patriots on Monday night. We'll talk about that game at the end of the hour. Or just buy up the 3 and take the Indianapolis Colts +3 here, because I think that this is a game that they absolutely need to win, and they're going to keep it close enough to make it a coin flip. I like the points here.
Seattle and the Chargers at SoFi in Lipstick City, and Geno's been doing his thing, and the Chargers won ugly the other night.
Look, let's talk about the stadium first and foremost. Let's just talk about a massive betting angle, and that is fading these home teams. When the Rams are playing at home or the Chargers are playing at home, since they built the stadium a couple of years ago, the visitors, as long as the visitor is not catching over a touchdown, they're 13-6 ATS is the visitor when they're playing in this stadium. And they've actually won more games than the home teams have. They've won more games outright than the home teams have in these spots. Like, this is not a home field advantage whatsoever for either the Rams or the Chargers. And that plays to the advantage of the Seattle Seahawks. In addition, just going up against this Chargers overrated defense plays advantage to the Seattle Seahawks. They're going to be able to run the football. The LA Chargers are allowing the most yards per carry on early downs to opposing running backs in the NFL this season. They are getting pressure at one of the lowest rates of the NFL since they lost Joey Bosa. He is still out for this game. They haven't been able to get pressure, and they don't blitz a lot. That's going to create a lot of clean pockets for Geno Smith. I think Geno Smith is going to take advantage of that. They're going to be able to move the ball through the air and on the ground, and they're going to be able to do enough, in my opinion, to cover this spread. The game against the Broncos last week obviously made the Chargers offense look a little bit worse than what it is. I don't know that Keenan Allen is going to be back for this team. team. And if Keenan Allen is not back, and this total seems a little bit elevated too, I think that the Seattle Seahawks with the points is the way to look in this one.
So the best game maybe is the Chiefs and Niners in Santa Clara at Levi's. The Chiefs coming off a humbling loss to the Bills at Arrowhead. Now they go out west to Northern California to take on the Niners, who looked terrible in Atlanta at the Benz against the Falcons.
Yeah, the problem here is really trying to uncover. I mean, this is the game you're basically handicapping injuries, because we got injuries on the 49ers offensive line. If those guys are healthy, if Trent Williams can come back, if Mike McGlinchey is up for them, they're going to have success running the football on this Chiefs run defense, who's giving up a lot of yards on the ground. Conversely, the Niners secondary is a mash unit, and it's a terrible team to be going up against. The best team to go up against if your secondary is beat up is a team like the Atlanta Falcons. Marcus Mariota, what do you throw? 14 times? He completed 13 of them? I mean, they don't even attack your secondary often. Guess what? Andy Reid's going to be attacking the secondary early and often if they have as many injuries as their injury report sort of indicates. And then you've got questions on the other secondary as well. The Kansas City Chiefs, are they going to get some of their players back from hamstring injuries for Fenton or from IR with their young rookie? Like, it's going to be interesting to see the health status of these teams. And so it's really hard for me to actually handicap it. I can tell you that super sharp money came in early and bought on the San Francisco 49ers catching the 3 points at home and bought that game down, assuming that the Niners are going to be able to have some success running the football well enough in this spot, and that the Chiefs secondary may not be fully healthy. The Chiefs have been giving up yardage. I think Debo could also have a good game through the air here. So that's the early look, but I don't have a lean on the side or total until we get more injury information. And with the 49ers being on the West Coast, I don't think we have today's injury report yet, and let alone, you know, Friday's injury report, which will really tell us much, much more.
Well, I mean, you saw what they did to the Rams in Santa Clara. They destroyed them, and the Chiefs lose to the Bills. I have a quick question for you here about the Chiefs. As far as I'm concerned, there's no one that can touch the Bills. If they get to January in Orchard Park in a divisional semi, they're going to play the title game in Buffalo this year, not in Arrowhead, because they just beat them. And the Chiefs are basically, are they not the only team that could even give them a game? I mean, honestly, and they may lose to the Niners this week in San Francisco. So, I mean, they're going to go to Buffalo. They're going to lose. The Bills are going to the Super Bowl.
Well, stranger things have happened, but this is exactly why I'm reading from the same sheet of music as you are, Scott, because I was telling people before last week's game to bet the Buffalo Bills to win the AFC Championship and then to win the Super Bowl because of exactly what you described. Their path is considerably easier now that they have this home field advantage. They can't drop games along the way. They must make everything count for them, make this perfect, and get that home field advantage throughout the postseason. But you're right. Like, they already were able to handle a Baltimore Ravens team whose defense was playing a little bit better than this Ravens defense is playing right now. But if the Ravens get healthy, there's the potential that defensively, offensively, they could do enough here. And really, it's the Bills. Like, how do the Bills want to play? Do the Bills want to nickel and dime, dink and dunk down the field and keep you in the game a little bit longer? Or do the Bills try to jump out, throw the ball deeper, and try to get up big? It'll be interesting to see how they decide to play. And most importantly, what is the weather forecast like for those games? Because that changes the Buffalo Bills' performance at home and their strategy a lot, especially if it's very windy there.
So real quick, 30 seconds. Do you think the Dolphins are the best shot against them? Because we're going to see them play them. They've already played them once. That was the wildest game we've seen. Are they a better shot than the Chiefs?
I don't think that they are. I still think the Chiefs are definitely the second best team in the AFC, and the Chiefs are the best shot against the Bills. That was a super close game. I mean, that game, a couple things go the Chiefs' way, and they're going to win that game. So the one thing the Chiefs couldn't do is get explosiveness down the field, which is something that the Dolphins definitely can do to get back in a game quicker if they're trailing. But, I mean, both of those teams should be able to give Buffalo battle. I don't see Buffalo just, like, running away with this thing massively.
You know, I think that the Chiefs, it's like they play the Bills every single game at Arrowhead. Now they're going to play them in Orchard Park. They're going to find out the hard way.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You should have seen it. Warren just talked to like 20 people at the sportsbook there, and he told them all that they got a $1,000 risk-free bet on BetMGM if they just use the code Coast to Coast. And like every single one of them ran to the window immediately to make the bet. That's a beautiful thing. $1,000 risk-free bet. Use the code Coast to Coast. Coast, the number two, Coast. Coast to Coast. It's real simple. Get in it. You're going to love it. Get a taste. All right, Tampa and Carolina. Here's the deal, Warren. The Buccaneers suck. I'm sick and tired of hearing how they're going to get better. They're going to get healthier. They haven't had all their receivers on the field. Tom's getting a divorce. I have heard every excuse. You've already said they're a coaching lobotomy, basically. Now, by the grace of God, they get to play the crappy Carolina Panthers, who are going to get the number one draft pick. They suck so bad. I don't care if Wilkes or Jesus is the coach. They're awful.
Yeah, look, I think the Carolina Panthers threw one pass all of last week that went beyond the line of scrimmage. This team was just throwing screens left and right. P.J. Walker was not pushing the ball down the field at all, and now you're going up against this Bucs defense, which as many struggles as the offense has had, this Bucs defense is actually what is somewhat bankable and giving them enough production on that side of the ball. But I agree with your sentiment that, to me, I just can't bet this game because I can't expect that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are A, going to be able to jump out quickly enough, and then B, care enough late in the game to keep the pedal down and to keep this Carolina Panthers team at bay. Not that I like the Panthers whatsoever, but I just don't have any desire to get involved in this game from a side or total. If anything, I'd probably be looking towards backing the under here. I just think we're going to see too many runs on first down. And this play calling that Byron Leftwich has been utilizing over the past several years, it really reared its head because there was no excuse with all the secondary injuries for the Steelers last week, but it's been there and I've been critical of it for years now. The problem has been in the past, they've had more talent on the offensive line and at the receiver position. And so they've been able to make up for that and offset that and convert all these second and longs into first downs. But they just can't do that right now because of the overall talent that's on this roster.
Do you just tease them down with something else? I mean, they got to beat them by a touchdown.
You're not going to get them. You're not going to get them through the 7 and the 3. You're only going to get them through the 7. And I'm not interested in teasing anybody that I can't get through the 3 as well. So I would steer clear of them. You could see what the money line offset could be and then put them in a money line parlay. But you saw what happened last week. A lot of people put them in teasers, myself included, against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And they couldn't even win that game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, so I think you're right. Like, the same thing at the beginning of the day, I looked at it, I went, I want no part of that game. I laid the 10 with the Rams last week. I'm lucky I got through that with as malaise as they are. Let's talk, and we'll talk about them, hopefully not at all today. Atlanta and Cincy in the jungle.
I don't know what we're going to get from Atlanta secondary here. The problem is I don't think Atlanta matches up really well against Cincinnati's offense, and I'm worried that they're not going to be able to play the two-high shell that's really given Joe Burrow problems this season. And they're also not going to be able to defend if their secondary is beat up as much as it certainly indicates. They're not going to be able to defend these receivers nearly as well as what's required. I don't think they're going to get enough pressure on Joe Burrow either. So it's kind of like the trifecta where initially on paper it's like, okay, is Atlanta Falcons team keeps covering spreads. This Atlanta Falcons team, though, even though they've been covering, still isn't getting really a lot of respect in the betting marketplace. So there's opportunity here from a value perspective to back the Falcons once again. But I just don't see it because of the matchup itself. I don't think that they're going to give this Bengals team enough problems. And the other thing that you have to worry about is you don't want this Bengals team throwing the ball all over you on the field. Like, if you're looking to bet this total, and let's pretend that you want to go under the total here, like, I know that the full game unders on the Bengals are going to be better than first half because of all the defensive adjustments that they make, but I'm just worried about this Falcons defense in the secondary in particular holding up enough here. But certainly there's been some sharp money that's come in on the Cincinnati Bengals moving this line to 6.5.
I mean, the Bengals, or rather the Falcons, have covered every single game this year, and they beat the Niners' ass. I think Smitty's doing a good job down there. Let's talk about Dak now. Back home, Jerry's World, the Lions are in. Prescott's back. A lot of people talking about going over to Rainbow here that they're going to score a lot of points in this game, both sides.
Well, it's going to be easier said than done, and here's why. I don't know yet what the offensive game plan is for Dak Prescott. Are they going to throw the ball like they would have if he was completely healthy and never missed any time? Or might they decide to run the football a little bit more, not put him, not ask him to do too much, not maybe his target down the field of 20-plus yards aren't nearly as accurate, so they're going to try a more controlled passing attack. I'm just not sure this first game out what they're going to get Dak Prescott to do through the air. Now, the way that you beat or at least have success against this Dallas defense is exactly what we talked about with Philadelphia last week, and that's you need to be able to run the ball a little bit here because this defense is very bad against the run. Short passes, get the ball out quickly when you have to pass, but otherwise run the ball a lot. Well, that's exactly what the Lions are good at doing. They got Amon-Ra St. Brown back, but they're going to be able to have success running the ball because Swift is back too, and their offensive line looks to be a little bit healthier than it was entering the bye, where they were down some players when they went into New England and couldn't score any points. So that is my hope, that the Detroit Lions are going to be able to run the ball here, which would slow the game down a little bit. And then if Dallas chooses not to throw the ball as much with Dak, they might be running it a little bit more here as well. So, I mean, you got two teams that might be running it at fairly high rates. It's going to be hard to go over a total that sits at 49 points unless there are explosive rushes or some passes mixed in off of play action. I don't have a great feel for this game. I did take a little bit of the Detroit Lions plus 7 earlier. That's where I would look if I was forced to bet this one. But thus far, you know, aside from a small dabble on the Lions, I haven't done much.
Green Bay and Washington at the dump in Landover. They've got enough problems off the field to, like, hold them down for a few years with their owner, et cetera. And the Packers have their own set of problems in losing horrifically in London to the Giants, where they didn't score in the second half. They were up 20-10, never scored again. And then the Jets spanked them even worse at Lambeau. What is wrong with the Green Bay Packers? And we already know the Commanders suck.
Well, I'm interested to see what Taylor Heinicke does in this offense now that Carson Wentz isn't there, because I think that he is going to hold up a little bit better under pressure. We know that that's one of the big bugaboos for Carson Wentz, and I think we might have a little bit more efficiency from this Washington offense. And if they can get their ground game going, you know, they've got Brian Robinson back healthy. We bet him to score a touchdown last week. He came through on last Thursday night's game. We're going to see, though, they're going to continue to work in Antonio Gibson here, and they might be able to have a little bit of success running the football against this Packers defense. Conversely, on the other side of the ball, I mean, like you said, I don't know what's going on with this Green Bay Packers offense. Randall Cobb's going to be out. You don't have as many players at the receiver position that Aaron Rodgers trusts. He comes back after the game and says, we need to simplify this offense. He says that publicly in his post-game presser. And then his head coach comes back the next day and says, I don't know what he means, simplify the offense. It seems to be like these two are talking too much publicly and need to be locked in a room figuring out how to execute this offense. They've got too much talent overall on that roster to be playing the way that they are and not executing and not clicking enough. They've had plenty of time in the offseason during camps and stuff to get these receivers up to speed. There's no excuse for why this offense isn't working better than what it is. Washington's one strength has been stopping the run. And so you might force the Green Bay Packers to throw the ball a little bit more here. And that's a problem. I would lean, as crazy as it sounds, I would actually lean a little bit towards the Washington Commanders here at home catching the 5 points.
Wow. All right. So ice cold Heineken going to get involved. Do you think there's a chance if he plays well for this stretch, 4 to 6 weeks, however long Wentz is going to be out, that it could be another ending for Carson Wentz? Everywhere else he's gone, it's gotten ugly at the end. Why not here, too? He didn't do anything with the Commanders.
Why not here is right, although I don't know how that situation is going to go down, because they obviously invested a little bit in bringing him here, including picks. So what are you going to do at that point? Like, you might just need to go back and continue to play him. That being said, if he doesn't play as many snaps then you're going to not give back a high draft pick. So it's in the Washington Commanders' best interest that Taylor Heinicke plays well enough to keep Carson Wentz from playing, but the team keeps losing games. But I will tell you this, that's not going to bode really well for Ron Rivera and this coaching staff. So I don't want to say they're coaching for their jobs, but it's not going to be pretty if this team continues to lose like they've been doing. I think last week against the Chicago Bears was a bit of an anomaly. Chicago had every opportunity to win that game. So I don't know what's going to go on for this week's game. I do lean a little bit towards Washington, but moving forward, I mean, this Washington franchise continues to be in trouble, both at the highest levels of ownership as well as with the product that they're delivering on the field.
So Denver's won two games at home, but they stink in every game they play. When I go near them, I lose bets. They covered against the Chargers. I have no idea how they covered with the second half that Wilson had. That may be the worst deal in NFL history, the money they gave him, because he has been anemic. He looks finished. And now the Jets come calling in the Mile High on Sunday afternoon. They're getting like 1.5.
To me, this is like a dead nut under game, right? Like, this game is absolutely a great bet towards the under. The problem is the books know that as well. And so the books set this game, you know, this total, the look ahead was 43 points on this total. When they repost the numbers after that game, it's down in the 30s. So you take it zaps all the value and our ability to want to get involved betting and under, whether it's first half or full, when they bring out a number like that where it's sitting in the high 30s and the first half number is not even at 20, which is an important number in first half betting. So it makes it challenging to bet here. I do lean to the fact that I agree that I would like it if Russell Wilson is playing. If I'm on the Jets, I want Russell Wilson to play. I want the line to move a little bit towards Denver and get all that value, and then I'm backing the Jets here. But I think the Jets are going to be, you know, it's going to be a big challenge going up against this Broncos defense, one of the most underrated defenses in the entire NFL.
All right. The Texans are awful. They're playing the Raiders in Vegas. Waller says he's not going to go. The hammy's still a problem.
I like the Texans here. I think the Texans catching the points.
Whoa.
Can I tell you 10 reasons why I think it's a good bet? No, I can't. You know, it's one of those bets where I'm just looking to bet against the Raiders. Both of these teams are off a bye. Do you know what Derek Carr is off of a bye in his career? Something like 0-5 the last five times the guys come off of a bye. They have not covered the spread. They don't win these games. And it's a great opportunity for an upstart Houston Texans team to come in here. One of the things the Texans do great is their running back, Damian Pierce, does not get tackled, does not go down easily. And the Raiders are one of the worst teams at wrapping up. They allow a ton of yards after contact to opposing running backs. I think that there's going to be upside for the run game of the Houston Texans in this spot to try to alleviate some of the burden from their quarterback, Davis Mills. That being said, I mean, the Texans defense kind of stinks, and unless they come out and play a lot of too high, which they entered the bye playing a ton of too high against the Jaguars, really caught them off guard. If they play a lot of too high in this game as well, I think they're going to slow down Derek Carr enough to be able to cover the spread here, but I do worry if in case they don't decide to do that.
20 seconds. So basically it sounds like in Portuguese you think the Raiders season's over.
I don't know that I'd go that far. I don't know if I ever was on the Raiders to begin with, but I certainly don't think that they're a contender or a team that you want to be backing, or let alone laying a touchdown with even at home.
I mean, they're awful already. They lose to the Texans. Oh, my God. They'll be finished. We come back, Bears and Pats.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Pharrell back in New York on Coast to Coast and at the MGM National Harbor BetMGM Sportsbook and Lounge is our lead NFL analyst, Warren Sharp. You can follow him on social media at Sharp Football, and you'll be better off for it, let me tell you. So the Pats, I thought, looked terrific running the ball down the Lions' throats. And then they did the same thing to the Browns, and you already talked about what Zappy Hour did to them through the air, 300-plus. How do you think they're going to do against another crappy team, the Chicago Bears, who are 2-4 and flat out awful?
Yeah, I think they're going to do well enough in this spot. And now, the two angles I like for this game. A, I like teasing down the New England Patriots. This is one you go through the 7 and through the 3. I like that teaser leg a lot. And the second angle that I like for this game, I think this is the time to bet the New England Patriots over their season win total. It sits at 8.5 right now, and here's the reason why. The Patriots defense has played great, and yet they've played the number one most difficult schedule of opposing offenses on the season. Now this team's going to be playing a lot of these mediocre to bad offenses, just like the Chicago Bears. I think this defense is going to start getting a lot of discussion over the next 3 to 4 weeks, and we're going to have a lot of people saying, hey, are the Patriots legit contenders, because their offense will do enough, but their defense is really going to hold these opponents down. I think it starts in this game. The Chicago Bears offense is really not that difficult to figure out. There's only one thing that can defeat you with this Bears team, and that's if their quarterback ends up doing something out of structure and causing havoc for your defense. But I don't think Bill Belichick's going to allow that to happen. I think the Patriots win comfortably.
Do you think that it's Zappe or Mac Jones? Respectfully, I got 20 seconds.
I think it's Zappe, but they've already said as soon as Jones is healthy enough, he's going to get the job, regardless of how good Zappe plays. But Zappe's doing a great job here, and I think he's going to do a fine job if he's asked to step up for this game as well.
You know, it's just like seems like a mistake to put Jones back in there when Zappe's played so well. Certainly a controversy in Boston. Warren, great job this week. We'll see you again next week. My man.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase